नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यं ईश्वरं। नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरूपेश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू डॉक्टर सांके माधवानंद प्रभु एंड श्री गौरांग प्रभु सुनील राठी जी फॉर योर hosting this program, such a beautiful ceremony of Tulsi Shaligram Vivaha. Actually, this is the glory of Indian tradition, where there are so many festivals. And now this festival is the auspicious beginning. If you see in India, the Vedic culture, from tomorrow the marriages will start. So after the Chaturmas, see, in Vedic culture, anything we do, we first do it by remembering the Lord. And that purifies the consciousness of the spirit to exploit. We all have a dark side within us. And this dark side threatens to create havoc in the society. One person is enough. So the Vedic program is that whatever we do, we first remember the Lord and purify our intention. So what happens when we perform the marriage of Tulsi and Shaligram ji? And then we are remembering the Lord and Lord's dearmost devotee, Vrinda Devi, who comes in this material world as Tulsi Maharani. And then when all the other festivities happen, starting from tomorrow, our consciousness is sufficiently purified. Not just marriage, even food. We don't just eat any ordinary food. Before eating, we offer it as bhoga to the Lord. And then we accept it as mercy or prasad. So, in the Vedic culture, everything is accepted as a blessing. And therefore, we emphasize a lot on connection to the Lord. we will see that in the Vedic scriptures, like Tulsi Devi actually in one sense is a plant. Tulsi is a plant. So originally Vrinda Devi was the puremost devotee of Krishna, and Krishna assured her that in the material world she would appear as a Tulsi plant. So in the Vedic culture, whether it's a banyan tree, Tulsi plant, or whether it is Ganga or Yamuna river, whether it is a Giriraj mountain or the Himalaya mountains, so trees, rivers, plants, animals, there is divinity seen everywhere. There is encouragement to see divinity or godliness in everything. The Bhagavad Gita explains in the 5th chapter, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. That one who actually evolves, one whose consciousness evolves, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, the first qualification is he develops humility. Vinaya, Vinayata. Vidya Dadati Vinayam, Vinayam Dadati Patratam. So humility is the qualification. You can know that a person has developed real knowledge when he becomes humble. What our Kabir Das ji said this, Bada hua to kya hua jaisa ped kajur, panthi ko chhaya nahi fal lage ati dur. What is the use if you become big and so tall and powerful, but nobody gets benefit from that tree. Panthi ko chhaya nahi, traveler doesn't get shade, and the fruit is also very high. So better to be small. So real knowledge leads to humility. Vidya dadati vinayam, vinayam dadati patratam. So anyway, in the Bhagavad Gita verse it is mentioned that one who actually develops real knowledge, Brahmane gavi hastini shuni cheva shvapakecha pandita samadarshina. A person learns to see all beings as equal. Whether it is Brahmana, whether it is a cow, whether it is a dog, whether it is a dog eater. People of all nature, all species, a person is able to see God within them. He is able to see divinity within them. So this is the message of Bhagavad Gita. So when we worship Lord's dearmost devotee, Tulsi Maharani, and we also worship Lord's associates, we respect them, our heart becomes soft and we become qualified to overcome our exploitative mentality, and our hearts become purified with the desire to serve. And Tulsi Devi especially is very, very special, since today is the festival of Tulsi Vivah. I'll briefly mention about the glory of Tulsi Devi. Now if you see in Indian families, Tulsi is worshipped, is very sacred. Now I was in Russia a few years ago in Moscow. It's so cold there that Tulsi plant doesn't grow. But the Russian devotees, you know, I was actually emotionally overwhelmed when I saw their devotion. So we have a place called Yurolova, which is outside Moscow. It's a suburb, and it's extremely cold there. In winter it is sometimes minus 40, and in summer it is 20. And the lowest, their highest temperature is our lowest in Mumbai. So Tulsi doesn't grow there. So what they do, many places, they have a photograph of Tulsi, which they have laminated, and they keep it as an altar. And they do what we did parikrama today, we offered, they do all this to a photograph of Tulsi, and they have so much devotion. So there is one person I met, I asked him, how you became a Hare Krishna devotee? He said, when he was a young boy, he was very attracted. He didn't know, coincidentally, Tulsi was growing in his house. He had no idea that this is Tulsi. And he said, my mother was so attracted to this plant, and we used to feel some special relationship with this plant. We didn't know what it was. But as I grew up, I could see that I had some affection for this plant. And then somebody gave me a Hare Krishna book. I came to Hare Krishna and I saw the same plant is being worshipped. And then I heard the glories of Tulsi Maharani and I became a devotee. And then I realized I became a devotee because I got blessing of Tulsi Devi. So Tulsi is a very, very special plant, and Russia especially is a land of rishis. You know, many many rishis, many, many thousands of years ago, they would go to Himalayas to perform penance, but some of them couldn't sustain, or they would go, but they couldn't come back to their villages, so they would go on the other side of the Himalayas. They traveled to the modern day Ukraine, Russia. So the land of Rishi became Russia. Even today in Russia, there are many places with names of Ganga, Yamuna. Many Sanskrit names have Russian, like I know one Russian friend, his Russian name is Arunas. I asked him, what does Arunas mean? Because in Sanskrit, Aruna means sun. He said, Arunas means sun in Russian. I said, oh, really? So like this, Russia has a very amazing culture. Anyway, coming back to Tulsi Devi, even in England, for example, it's very cold, London. So what they do, so how they grow Tulsi there, they have Tulsi plants and they have tube lights just above the Tulsi plants. And in a row, in the Bhaktananda manner, they have intense light they put, and then they keep the Tulsi plant flourishing. So it is so sacred. Tulsi is approached with so much reverence. Because Tulsi makes our hearts soft. Therefore, every year in the month of Kartik, we worship Tulsi Devi. And we chant these prayers. In the Vedic scriptures, just like we have different religions, and different religions have different scriptures, in the Vedic scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as the ripened fruit of the Vedic knowledge. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very beautiful description is given. Tasya ravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjal kamishra tulasi makaranda vayu antarjale nuvikasan madumadavinam sankshopam aksharajusham apichitta tanvo. That there were four Kumaras, they were extremely attached to the impersonal aspect of God. And when they entered the Lord's spiritual abode, and they saw the Lord, they were desperate to see the Lord. But what happened? Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda. Before they saw the Lord, they smelt. Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu. The Tulsi leaves mixed with the Lord's lotus feet dust that entered the nostrils of these four Kumaras, that fragrance, antar jale, it entered the nostrils. And what happened? Sankshobam aksharajusham, their attachment to the impersonal aspect, it dissolved, and they developed attraction to Krishna. And the spiritual world is described as a place where there is freedom from envy, where there is freedom from competition. So we here in Thakur village can develop a spiritual world if we also become free from envy and jealousy and hatred for others. So the description is given how human beings, human residents in the spiritual world live. Vaimanika salalana charitani shashva gayanti yatra shamala kshapanani bartu antarjale nuvikasan madumadavinam gandena khandita diyo panilam kshipantah. So in the human residents in the Vaikuntha spiritual world, they are with their consorts, they are with their wives and husbands, and they are going in the airplanes, vaimanika salalana, and they are singing the glories of the Lord. At that time, some nice breeze or nice fragrance comes to them and they actually enjoy it. But as soon as this desire to enjoy comes in their heart, gandena khandita diyo, they immediately dismiss it, because they don't want to enjoy, they just want to serve. So the verse glorifies the consciousness of the people in spiritual world. They just want to serve, they don't want to exploit or enjoy. Even if they get something to enjoy, they see it as an opportunity to serve. For then, after the consciousness of human residence is explained, then it is explained, okay, humans to phir bhi theek hai, humans are the most evolved. But what about birds and animals? It will be interesting to see what is their consciousness. Paravatanyabritasa rasa chakravaka. What is the next line? Datyu yaham sa shukati tiribarhi namya kulahalo chiramate chiramatra mucher Bringa dipe harikatam ivagaya mana. This is a beautiful verse. third canto, it explains paravatanya brutasarasa, that different birds in the spiritual realm. We have already spoken about the human residents, but what about the birds and animals? All these different birds are there: paravatanya, brutasarasa, swan, partridge, parrots, chakravaka. Many of these birds, we don't even know their names in English. Dathyuya, Shuka is parrot, of course. So all these birds are there. What happens to them? They are making a loud sound. They are singing, they are dancing in the spiritual world. But what happens when the bumblebee comes? Kolahalo, they are making a big noise. Kolahalo, chiramatra mucche. But when the bumblebee comes, Bringa dipe harikatam ivagaya mana. They just become quiet. Oh, the bumblebee is coming. Bumblebee is very sweet. You know, you heard the sound of the bumblebee? Brrr. We may find it irritating, but the Lord enjoys that sound. And all the other birds feel, oh, this is such a nice sound, nice music. And the bumblebee is singing so nice. Let the bumblebee sing. Let us keep quiet. In the material world, we want to be heard. You know, if there are five people we have in this job interviews, they have these group discussions. The topic is given and everybody wants to be heard and everybody wants to speak. Meri awaaz suno, mujhe bolne do. But in the spiritual world, nahi, aap boliye, hum sunenge. So even the birds have this evolved consciousness that they allow a bumblebee to speak. Now you may say, okay, humans are like this, birds and animals are like this, but do you know how the plants and trees in the spiritual world, what they think of? Mandara kunda kurabot palacham pakarna punnaga naga bakulam bujapari jata gandher chite tulasika bharane natasya yasmin stapa sumanaso bahumanayanti. So different flowers are mentioned in the spiritual world. Now we don't have those birds in this material world. So only one or two of them you will remember: paravatanya, brita, sorry, mandara, kunda, kurabhotpala, champaka, you must have heard, arana, bakula ambuja is lotus, parijata, you know. All these flowers, they are all extremely fragrant, but they all are very conscious. They know that we are nothing compared to who? Tulsi. They know that Tulsi Devi, gandher chite tulasika bharane natasya. Of all of us, we should know that Tulsi is most dear to the Lord. Why? Yasmin tapah su manaso bahumanayanti. She has performed lot of tapasya. She has performed lot of austerities for the pleasure of the Lord. So therefore, in the Vedic tradition, we worship Tulsi. That doesn't mean we disrespect other trees. In fact, in the Vedic culture, we encourage you to have a relationship with trees and plants. Like I go for my walk, I have a certain relationship with some trees. You know, there is one tree, one peepal tree, and one banyan tree at Hanging Garden. So every day I go and hug them, and I spend some time under those trees, and I feel very spiritual, very connected. So we need to respect all life, but Tulsi is very special, and we glorify and we honor, and I'm extremely grateful to the devotees here, Sunil Rati ji and Dr. Sankey ji, for organizing this festival. It was such a, after so many years, I saw this festival in such a beautiful way celebrated here. Thank you, Prabhu. So this is the glory of Tulsi Devi. And also, when we talk about Tulsi, spiritual world, one question immediately comes to the mind of people is, okay, all this is okay, but, you know, at the bottom line is, does God exist in the first place? Nowadays, a lot of modern people, they feel all these scriptures is all grandmother's stories. Does God exist? What is the proof you have that God exists? So I humbly tell them, what is the proof you have that God doesn't exist? Why is the burden of proof on us? In our weekly classes that I have on Bhagavad Gita, we discussed in great detail last time the logical and scientific proof for the existence of God. Just like it is blind belief, blind faith to accept God, I agree, blindly to say God exists, I believe in God, Any proof? No, no. Just believe in God. Just surrender to God. This is blind belief. I accept. But just like this is blind belief, blind faith, similarly to reject God is also blind faith. Without understanding, without logic. If accepting God is blind faith without proof, then rejecting God is also blind faith. So therefore, we can discuss logically. We have already discussed this in the previous sessions. I'll briefly summarize that. See, creation implies creator. Laws imply lawmaker. Design implies there is a designer. Organization implies there is an organizer. And if you see the way this universe is arranged, the way the cosmos is functioning, the way seasons come, the way the body grows and degenerates, if you see the way this whole life functions, we can see that there is perfect organization, perfect intelligence, and therefore there is an intelligent creator. Because we don't find anything coming by chance. Like for example, if this watch, now if you ask me, you know, what is this watch, and if I tell you, you know, how I got this watch, this watch has an alarm clock, this watch has many features, I guess. I just know how to use alarm and this, but it is a modern watch, very sophisticated. It has been with me for many years, faithfully serving me. And if I tell you I found this watch because I go for my morning walk in the Chowpatty beach, and every day as I am walking I see the sand mixing with the ions in the air and the water and the salt, and eventually over a period of time this mixture was happening, and lo and behold, one day a watch popped out. Just happened by chance. If I give this theory to you, in all likelihood you would disbelieve. And why? Because you would say the watch is so precise, so complicated, so perfect, so minutely designed. How can it come by chance? Isn't it? Similarly, this universe is so perfectly designed. The distance between Earth and Sun is just exact. Seasons change, the way the day happens, the time. So many factors. Like we pride ourselves in having, you know, in creating a bulb or light. But imagine, can any scientist ever create a sun? Where has it come from? Can we create a sun in the laboratory? Like we may have a very nicely packaged and processed mango drink called Fruity. But what about the original mango? When we see a painting of a rose, beautiful painting, we say, oh, what a beautiful painting, somebody must have painted it. When we see a paper rose, we say, oh, somebody must have made this paper rose. But when we see a real rose, we say, aise aa gaya. Aise kaise? A painting of a rose has one feature, color. A paper rose has color and form. And we say it has come by chance. But when we see a real rose which has color, which has form, which has fragrance, which has taste, we say, I see aga. That's not fair. That's why the father of science, Isaac Newton, he was a staunch believer in God. And when his atheist friend came home, who believed everything happens by chance, Newton, he had created a model of the solar system. And he showed it to his friend, and his friend was surprised by this amazing solar system model. And he asked Newton how he did it, and Newton said, no, I didn't do anything, just the cupboard fell off and all the bolts and nuts and hardware, it all came together, and lo and behold, this popped out. So Newton's friend was upset. He said, how, you know, what a silly theory you are giving me. But then Newton said, if you refuse to believe that a simple model of the solar system could come about on its own, how do you buy the theory that the original and the real thing has come by chance? One of the most famous biologists, Edwin Conkling, is a Nobel laureate. He said, to say that everything has come by chance or a big bang, this universe has come, it is like saying that there was a big explosion in a printing press and a dictionary came out of that explosion. It's not possible. There are these three most powerful questions which scientists have no answer for. Who created the universe? We say God. But you ask the scientists, who created the universe? They say Big Bang. You ask them, who created the species? The theory of evolution. Who created life? Chance. But if you go deeper into all these theories, you will realize, ultimately, it boils down to faith. Like the Big Bang Theory says, there was a point zero at which there was, which had infinite temperature, it had infinite volume, and there was a major explosion. And when all the things expanded and cooled and things settled down, then we had this universe. So it all began from point zero. So if you ask them, okay, where did this point zero come from? And who created this bang? This happened 13.7 billion years ago. And why did it happen? Okay, this bang happened in a space. Where did that space come from? No answer. And how did this, how did life come about? Well, according to Richard Dawkins, who has written this famous book, Selfish Gene, and he says, this book should be read as science fiction, but it is the gospel for all atheistic people. And in this book he says, Earth's original atmosphere consisted of carbon dioxide, methane, ammonia and water. And there was amazing lightning through sunlight or volcano or something happened. And then some amino acids were formed and they all collected in the ocean. And the first original organic soup was formed. And all this happened by series of accidents. And then finally the mother of all accidents happened. A life forming molecule came up. Ultimately, and then if you study mathematically and scientifically, according to the law of statistics and mathematics, anything that has a probability greater than 1 in 10 raised to the power 50 is impossible mathematically and statistically. And according to the chance theorists, the probability that this universe has come by chance, life has come by chance, is 1 in 10 raised to the power 113. This is a very conservative assumption. Actually, the scientists say it comes to 1 in 10 raised to the power 40,000. Which means 0.00000113 times 01. That is the percentage probability of this life coming by chance. So basically, mathematically this point or chance is unverifiable. Physically it is unrealizable. Statistically it is impossible. But still we believe in it. So, see, I'm not saying we don't believe in science, you know, we appreciate scientists. But some of the deep thinking scientists knew that science has limitations. Albert Gheorghe, who is a Nobel Prize winning chemist, what a heart-touching article he wrote recently saying that, whole life I believed in chemicals, but now as I'm becoming old and I'm seeing life slip through my fingers, I am feeling frustrated, I'm retracing my steps and realizing, where have I gone wrong? Eugene Wigner, one of the noted physicists, he said that one thing we'll never be able to answer, how did these lifeless chemicals actually come about with life? So it is a fact. Ultimately, open-minded, sincere scientists will appreciate our line of reasoning also. We also have our own logic. We have our way of presenting things. So we need to appreciate that there is God and we have a relationship with God. And now this is a vast subject, but I don't want to get into the technical aspects of this subject. But essentially some of you may have a question, okay fine, can we see God? Like many times people ask me, have you seen God? This is a question they ask, have you seen God? So I tell them, if I say yes, how do I know what you understand from this? Because, you know, somebody who is very humble, he may say, no, I have not seen God. But you don't know when he says no or when you say yes, how do you understand what is the meaning of yes or no of a person who answers this question? So how do we see God? Now there are different ways. Essentially we see God through two ways. One is cause and effect. When we see the effect, we can see that there is a cause. Just like when you see the fan moving, we may not be able to see electricity. But through the effect, we can see that there is a cause. When you see an arrow in motion, you know that there is a bowman who has shot an arrow. You know, when you see the puppets dancing, you know that there is a puppeteer. Similarly, when we see the effect of this universe, oh, this is a nice photo you have put. Yeah, when you see the puppets, we know that there is a puppeteer. Similarly, when we see things happening in this world, we can understand that there is a cause. So Krishna explains this in the Gita very beautifully. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani ganaiva. That my dear Arjuna, that just like sutre mani ganaiva, just like there is a pearl necklace, these pearls are not hanging in mid-air. They are bound by a unseen thread which is moving around. Similarly, the unseen Lord is proven by the seen. For Krishna says, everything is resting on me. And this is one way. The second way of seeing God is by service. When we serve, like our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada would tell us, that don't try to see God. Serve. Serve in such a way that God wants to see you. So service helps us be seen by God. One of the most famous American presidents, Jimmy Carter, is a very amazing person. You know, he's today also working hard physically. He's 94 now. For Habitat for Humanity, is a non-profit organization. He works for them. And he was the president of America, but still he goes on the field in the hot sun. He works, makes houses for underprivileged people. Oh, he is the one, yeah. Such a nice person. So when he was the president of USA, he saw on television these Hare Krishna devotees are dancing and chanting in the street. So he was amused. He said, oh, who are these people? I want to meet them. So within 24 hours, they were produced in front of American president. If American president wants to see somebody dancing on the street, is it difficult for the army and the government to get them in front of the president? So these devotees were telling each other, we were trying so much to meet the president, we could not meet him for so many years. And now suddenly in 24 hours, we are in front of the president. What happened? He became happy, he wanted to see, so we saw him. So similarly, we serve sincerely and the Lord decides. Dekhna hai mujhe, kaun hai mera bhakt, itna seva kar raha hai, itna anand mein, sukh hai, dusron ko sukh de raha hai. And he comes, he appears before us. So seeing God is no big deal. Unfortunately, even if God comes in front of us, we may not be able to recognize him. Like Duryodhan, Krishna was standing in front of him, but Duryodhan could not see him. So eyes is not the, sometimes people think we should have, you know, I want to see God. We have so much faith in our eyes, but our eyes can cheat us, deceive us. What can we see with these eyes? For us, with these eyes, we see the sun. Sun appears like a ball of fire or a football. Is the sun a ball of fire or a football? What can we see with these eyes? If you see your face on a concave mirror, your face appears distorted. But does that mean your face is distorted? So is seeing believing? How much trust we have in our eyes? Our senses. You know, if you taste an orange after eating sugar, that orange appears sour. But if the same orange if you eat after tasting lemon, that orange appears very sweet. So that means our tongue. We cannot trust our tongue, our eyes. If you blow a dog whistle, all the dogs will come, but you will not be able to hear. At this Oberoi shopping mall, they have mice driving repellents. You know, they have that creates such an irritating sound that all the rats run away. But you wouldn't even hear that sound. We can't hear beyond 20 to 21 hertz. So we have limitations in our senses, have imperfection, inherently imperfect. And because the senses are imperfect, we cannot really see God with our eyes. We need grace. We need to serve. So instead of relying on our own speculations, see, these are the four defects we have. We have imperfect senses. Because we have imperfect senses, we fall into illusion. Because we fall into illusion, we make mistakes. And to cover up our mistakes, we cheat. Like I'll give an example. There is a photograph. Next, so you just see this photo. You can go down. There is a photo of, you can see a triangle. Actually, there is no triangle made. That is the power of the illusion. Next one. What is this? Old man and an old woman, but it's also two cups. There's also one man and one woman singing with a violin. There's also a door and a woman coming out of the door. So how much do you trust our vision? How we get fooled? What is this? An old woman or a young girl? Are you able to see how our senses have imperfection inherently? This is not, you can see it moving, it's actually not moving. But that's how, when you play certain things in a certain way, it can create an illusion. So like this, there are many examples. Go down. Go to the next. So there's many. Wait, that one. Believe it or not, they're all the same height. You can come and measure if you want. You'll be shocked when, actually it appears as if the third one is the tallest. You get a ruler and measure it and you'll be shocked. All are same height. So that's how we get fall into illusion. So this is one way. Go to the next. So basically there are many photographs like this. I've got 140 slides to convince you that your senses are imperfect. So pratyaksha praman, you know, see, depending on eyes, depending on my sense perception is going to be illusory. And then sometimes people depend on anuman praman. Anuman means, acha, to aisa tha, to fir aisa hoga, fir aisa hoga. Now, because it is based on imperfect senses, that anuman is also wrong. Like, you know, have you gone to Mahabaleshwar? In Mahabaleshwar, there is a spot called Arthur Point. That is a point from dedicated to General Arthur, British general. So what happened? General Arthur was there at that particular point, and it was very height. I think it's at the highest point there. So he was standing there, and suddenly his hat flew, hat fell, but then it came up because of the air. He said, "Wah!" Then again picked up that, again he threw it, again it came up. He said, "Arre wah!" Niche pheka to upar aata hai. Then he took his rumal, kerchief, and he threw it. That also came up. He said, "Arre wah! Jo pheka to upar aata hai." Then he took some paper and he threw the paper. Paper came up. He said, "Arre wah! Jo pheka upar aata hai." So then what he did? He only jumped. So what happened to General Arthur? He jumped to conclusion. That was the end of him. So this is a classic case of anuman praman. Acha, aisa hua, ye aisa hua, to ye bhi aisa hua. Aisa nahi hai. Anuman praman is dangerous. Because we are depending on our own imperfect senses. Like when I was a young monk who joined our ashram, one day I heard two familiar voices, our senior counselors. I can't tell their names. They were very senior and I used to treat them with a lot of respect. Husband and wife. So the door was locked. I was outside the door and inside they were shouting at each other. They were fighting. And I felt bewildered. I said, "They are so senior and they are fighting like this? Chee, ghar pe ka ladna chahiye, mandir mein aake ladai kar rahe hain aise." And then I felt, I should not talk about it. Let me keep quiet. So then I was thinking, kya ho gaya rahega ghar pe, shayad unka divorce ho jayega, jhagda chal raha hai, ye ho raha hai. Then I told a few of my friends, we were saying, "Arre bapre." Then what happened? After a few days, it was our annual drama festival and then the drama was going on. Suddenly I saw both of them. I said, "Arre," then I realized, that day when I had heard them, they were actually rehearsing for the drama. So those dialogues, they were practicing that time. So jab drama dekha, tab samjha. Arre, 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 arre. So anuman praman is I speculate. Aisa hoga, ye hoga, ye hoga, fir aisa hoga. That is also not going to help. Best is shabda praman. Shabda praman means hear from a proper source and then test it whether it is right or wrong. Shabda. Like how do you make rasagulla? If you are white, it appears white round. So you go to the kitchen, take white flour and do anything you want. Rasagulla aayega? Nahi aayega. Or it's like egg, so do something with the egg. It's like a golf ball. No, rasagulla pehle suno. Read a cookbook. Then you try and then see if it is correct or not. So in Vedic approach to understanding God is, we believe in shabda praman, we hear from proper sources and then we test and we see. Like you tell me honestly, how have you learned anything in life from childhood? You have learned by hearing. From cradle to crematorium, everything you learn by hearing. How did you learn about your parents, your school, the nearest movie theater? How did you know about Einstein, Gandhi? Everything is based, and then we confirm it. If you do experiments, analysis, you will never be able to understand. If a child wants to know who my father is, for example, who is my father? Best is ask the mother and then test. If you say, no, I will test all the men. Let me find out who is my father. So if you take 10% of males on this planet, 250 million of them, and you test each one of them to see if he is your father, and take an absurdly low time of 100 seconds per test, you know how much time it will take you to find out who is your father? Non-stop, if you do this, 800 years. Ridiculous. Best is ask the mother. That's why Vedas are called as Shruti. Shruti means mother. We ask the mother who is our father. From the Vedic scriptures, it's revealed. And then we practice the process. And we have an open mind. And we discover our relationship with God. And you may say, but why Vedic scriptures? Usme kya hai? Now that's another subject matter. Vedas have lot of things which modern science is only recently discovering. Like Vedas talk about earth as Bhugol. Gol means round. And only 500 years ago they discovered that earth is round. Saptadvip, this earth planet has 7 continents, which also was recently discovered. In fact, till Columbus they thought earth is flat. And many things like this. Vedic fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the position of the child in the womb. And modern sonography has confirmed all of the description is right. Whether it is the prediction of Ashoka, Chanakya, Chandragupta. So all these statements are there in Vedas which confirm that it is a Paurusheya. It is beyond human capacity to fathom. So let us humbly receive the knowledge from the Vedic scriptures, and to facilitate your relationship with God, we have a weekly satsang program called Shastric Study Group. More of that will be announced by my colleague Neel Krishna Prabhu soon. But if you're interested, you can meet either me or Neel Krishna Prabhu or even Dr. Sankey or Sunil Rathiji and his family, and then you can connect to our program, and we have discussions on Bhagavad Gita. And we discuss how to practically connect to God. So in Hare Krishna movement, we chant a very simple mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant this mantra attentively, with devotion and feeling, we can experience a tangible relationship with God. And I invite you with your family for these programs. And please connect to me or my friend. And we will be happy to serve you in this program. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions regarding today's discussion, we can take one or two. And then we can have Deep Dan. I forgot to mention about the Deep Dan. Now we are going to offer this lamp, all of us. This is the last day of the month of Kartik. Now this is beyond today's discussion, I don't have time. But Kartik is the most holy month where Lord has performed beautiful pastimes. So on this day of Kartik, today is the last day of this month, we offer, every day we offer lamp actually in the temple. So we all will offer lamps, and basically this offering of light is offering of our own hearts to the Lord. And trust me, if you offer lamp now with feelings of devotion as we chant this prayer, you will feel a tremendous upsurge of devotion in your heart. And you will see that God consciousness is the reality. It works. The process of spiritual life works. So I invite you to put your heart and soul into this prayer as we chant this Damodar Ashtakam prayers. Hare Krishna.
Yes, a question, please. So we are very young in terms of the mind here, which very much appreciate. What's your name?
I'm sorry, I didn't get you.
Actually, you told that jealousy.
Envy, jealousy. What is envy, jealousy? Yes. Oh, you will not know that, because your heart is so pure. How old are you?
12 and a half,
and you are so sweet and pure and innocent. You will not know this. This is a very negative thing. Do you know Harry Potter?
Yes.
So, who are the dark forces? Voldemort. Oh, you've not seen the Harry Potter series. But you know Harry Potter is a good guy and there are the bad guys. So envy, jealousy are the bad guys. So you don't have to worry about them. But yeah, I'm happy you asked this question. We all have a negative, we have a dark side within us. What is the name? Ashita. Thanks, a very nice question you asked. Actually, you know, we have, when somebody does well, how do you feel? If your friend gets first rank in the class, how do you feel? If you feel happy for her, then you are not having envy or jealousy. But if you feel sad, why did she come first? I should have come first. If somebody is happy and you are happy, then you are okay. If somebody is miserable and then you are happy, matlab kuch toh galat hai. Vedic culture is based on para dukha dukhi. Dusre log dukhi hain, to hum bhi dukhi hain. And para sukha sukhi. Agar unko sukh mila, to hamara bhi sukh usi mein. So you should practice now only to feel sad when others are sad and to be happy when others are happy. Modern life is what? Para dukha sukhi. Wo dukhi hai, to main sukhi. And para sukhi dukhi. That is bad. Okay? Thank you. You made my day by asking that question. This clapping is for you, for your question.
I have one question. Since you mentioned that everyone has a darker side, which we do not accept because we try to portray and we believe that we have a good side. Now, following spirituality or believing in God, how does a person get rid of the darker side?
Oh, beautiful question. Actually, simply belief will not do, like many people say, I believe in God. No, belief is very superficial. We need to have a practice. So, simply saying, I am a God believer. There are many people who have created a lot of havoc in the society in the name of God. So the dark side simply doesn't go simply because I believe in God. It goes when we practice a process which brings us closer to God. I'm just giving a very crude example. Somebody is in love, deeply in love. And then you know what your beloved or what your lover wants or doesn't want or doesn't like strongly, and which is harmful for you or which is not healthy for the relationship. And because you value that relationship, and because you experience love in that relationship, that harmful thing, it's easy to give it up because there is a purpose, there is a sense of relationship. So what happens when we have a relationship with God, when we chant His holy name, when we remember Him, when we offer our hearts to Him, we feel love. When you feel love, you feel rich. When you feel rich, you feel tuch hai yaar, ye kya hai. ये तो छोटा सा चीज है, इसको छोड़ने में क्या प्रॉब्लम. सो दिस इज कॉल्ड एज पर्पस सेंटर्ड लाइफ. आई गिव अ ट्रू एग्जाम्पल. आई एंड विद दिस. दिस अ वेरी विद दिस एग्जाम्पल आई एंड. इन द 20th सेंचुरी देयर वाज अ वेरी बिग फेमस मैन. आई थिंक ऑल ऑफ यू मस्ट हैव हर्ड ऑफ सिगमंड फ्रॉयड. सिगमंड फ्रॉयड, हैव यू हर्ड? ही इज नोन एज वन ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट साइकियाट्रिस्ट ऑफ द 20th सेंचुरी. He said the greatest motivation in human beings is pleasure. Pleasure is what makes people work. Pleasure is what makes people live. Pleasure is the greatest motivation. Everybody said, right. Dekho, जहां पे प्लेजर रहता है उधर हम जाते हैं. मेक्स लॉजिकल सेंस ना, प्लेजर इज अ ग्रेटेस्ट मोटिवेशन. बट देन व्हाट हैपेंड आफ्टर अ फ्यू इयर्स, अनदर साइकेट्रिस्ट केम हु इज वेरी फेमस, इक्वली फेमस, कॉल्ड एडलर. ही इज ऑल्सो फ्रॉम ऑस्ट्रिया. एंड एडलर सेड, नो, प्लेजर इज नॉट द ग्रेटेस्ट मोटिवेशन. देर आर मेनी पीपल हु गिव अप प्लेजर एंड स्टिल दे हैव स्ट्रांग डिटर्मिनेशन टू लिव एंड अचीव. सो ग्रेटेस्ट मोटिवेशन इज पावर, पोजिशन. Then, after some years, came one of the most famous psychiatrists of the 20th century, Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. This book is considered as the most influential book of the 20th century. This man was a psychiatrist and he was a Jew. Hitler's army had captured him and put him in a concentration camp in Austria, Auschwitz. And he was suffering there, but he didn't die. And he saw in the concentration camp, people had no pleasure. He saw people had no opportunity for any position or power. Still there were people who were serving, who were trying to be happy and positive. So he started wondering, what is this? There is something more than pleasure and more than power and position. And then he realized, it is a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning. And then he devised what is called as logotherapy. Logotherapy means a therapy based on understanding what is the purpose of life, what is the meaning of life, what is the meaning of what I am doing, what is the purpose of what I am doing. And he was a great believer in God. So this is a long story. To cut it short, the point I am trying to make is when we connect to God, we have a strong sense of purpose. We have somebody whom we love and somebody who loves us. Then dark side to aise nikal jata hai. अभी किसी से प्यार किया है तो वो प्यार के लिए कुछ भी करेगा आदमी, है ना. अब प्यार के लिए क्या क्या करते हैं लोग, तो एक बुरी आदत तो छोड़ना बहुत इजी हो जाता है. लाइक ही हिमसेल्फ, विक्टर फ्रैंकल सेज, एट वन पॉइंट इन कॉन्सेंट्रेशन कैंप ही वॉज अबाउट टू डाई एंड देन सडनली ही सॉ, ही थॉट ऑफ हिज वाइफ एंड ही सेड, इफ आई समहाउ लिव, इफ आई समहाउ लिव एंड आई गो बैक, माई वाइफ विल बी देयर. देयर इज समबडी हू वॉन्ट्स मी टू लिव. There is somebody who loves me. That thought gave him the will, gave him the strength to overcome the negativity of the mind. And of course, his wife was also killed in another concentration camp. But the point is, he survived. And he came out with this logotherapy. It's a long subject matter on how we can cure depression through logotherapy, which we can discuss some other time in our weekly classes. But the point I'm trying to make is a sense of purpose. So when you have a higher taste aa gaya to lower taste nikal jata hai. So when we are connected to God through not simply belief, I'll repeat, not belief, but what? A practice based on belief. That practice gives us a higher taste. When you get a higher taste, niche ka taste chala jata hai. Hai na? This is, I will conclude with this last verse from the Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna that Vishaya vinivartante nirahārasya dehina रसवर्जम रसोप्यस्य परम दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते. कृष्णा सेज दैट माय डियर अर्जुना दैट इफ यू गेट अ हायर टेस्ट विषया विनिवर्तन्ते रसवर्जम रसोप्यस्य परम दृष्ट्वा. इफ यू गेट अ हायर टेस्ट द लोअर टेस्ट विल गो अवे. सिमिलरली इफ यू आर कनेक्टेड टू गॉड थ्रू अ लविंग रिलेशनशिप देन द लोअर डार्क साइड विच इज ट्रबलिंग अस दैट विल बी देयर बट इट विल नॉट हैरेस अस, इट विल नॉट अफेक्ट अस सो मच. So therefore we want you to be connected to something higher. Like if somebody is eating only pav, you know, that hard, tough pav. Not vada pav or pav bhaji. I'm talking about the hard pav. And that only that he is eating day and night. And then you go and tell him, kya bekar cheez kha raha hai tum? Chhi. He'll get angry with you. He'll say, kya bekar, achha to hai, isme nourishment milta hai, bahut achha hai. He will not believe you. But if you give him nice pizzas or nice dosas and nice khichdi, nice food, and then you tell him, hey, kya pav khara? He'll himself throw away the pav. Why? What is the difference now? Because he's got a higher taste. Higher taste nahi mila, and if you tell him to give up, he will not give up. When you tell people, give up envy, lust is very dangerous. Wo bolte, kya achha to hai, kya problem hai? Nowadays people tell me greed acha hai, kya problem hai. So because they don't have higher taste, so no point arguing with them. Unko kya karne ka, higher taste dene ka. दीप दान करो, भगवान से रिलेशनशिप बनाओ, भगवान को प्रेम से बोलो आई लव यू कृष्णा, एक बार बोल के तो देखो, सी व्हाट हैपेंस इन योर हार्ट, सी योर हार्ट बीटिंग लाइक एज इफ यू फॉलन इन लव विद कृष्णा, एंड देन दैट इज हायर टेस्ट देन इफ समबडी टेल्स यू गिव अप योर डार्क साइड विच इज लाइक पाव. अभी ऑलरेडी आप मसाला डोसा खा रहे हैं, पिज्जा खा रहे हैं, तो आपको ये डार्क साइड छोड़ने में बहुत नो प्रॉब्लम, यू विल इजिली गिव इट अप. सो दिस इज माई रिक्वेस्ट एंड आई इन्वाइट यू टू हैव अ रिलेशनशिप विद कृष्णा विद गॉड. एंड इफ यू वॉन्ट टू एक्सप्लोर मोर ऑफ दिस यू कैन मीट मी और यू कैन मीट, आई कैन सी रूपाली जी स्टैंडिंग देयर, यू कैन वेव योर हैंड, यू कैन सी हर इन ग्लासेस, शी इज देयर, सो यू कैन मीट हर, शी कैन गाइड यू ऑल्सो. नील कृष्णा प्रभु इज हियर, माई सेल्फ डॉक्टर सांके, सुनील राठी जी इज हियर. So all of you, please come for our weekly program and explore. We have done so many, you have explored so many things in life. Explore a relationship with God also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Sir, in the interest of time, so thank you very much for patiently being here with us. We are going to have the Deep Dan.